الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، this morning بإذن الله تعالى we make some مراجعة and مذاكرة of the classes we had taken with regards to الإيمان بالله عز وجل, with regards to believing in Allah the Most High, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from the beneficial means of learning and making the knowledge firm and benefiting from knowledge by reviewing and going over the knowledge from time to time and studying it amongst each other, back and forth, asking questions to make sure that the knowledge is understood correctly and likewise firm in the heart and able to be recollected and brought back from memory. It's been mentioned by Al-Hafidh Al-Mizzi, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he would say, "Man haza al-ilma wa dhakarahu saruha dunyahu wa akhiratu fa adim lil-ilmi mudhakaratan fa hayatu al-ilmi mudhakaratu." He would say, rahimahullah ta'ala, in these lines of poetry, encouraging the students of knowledge, "Man haza al-ilma wa dhakarahu saruhat dunyahu wa akhiratu," that whoever obtains knowledge and he reviews it, then his worldly affair will be upright, and likewise his hereafter. فَأَدِّمْ لِلْعِلْمِ مُذَكَرَةً فَحَيَاتُ الْعِلْمِ مُذَكَرَةُ. So therefore you must constantly review the knowledge, because the life of knowledge is by reviewing. Any meaning the knowledge will be alive, it will be firm, it will be beneficial for a person whenever he reviews it. But if he were to not review it from time to time, then it will die, it will go away, meaning it will be lost and he will not be able to remember and he will not be able to benefit from that knowledge. So the knowledge that is beneficial for an individual is the one that he carries with him wherever he goes, the knowledge that he has understood and comprehended well, proper and correctly, and he has memorized it. He has taken it to memory in his heart, and he carries it with him wherever he may be. Like Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he said, rahimahullah, "Ilmi ma'i haythu ma yamamtu yanfa'uni qalbi wi'a'un lahu la batnu sunduqi. In kuntu fil bayti kana al-ilmu fihi ma'i, aw kuntu fis suqi كان العلم في السوق." He would say, رحمه الله تعالى, "علمي معي حيثما يممت ينفعني," that my knowledge is with me wherever I go, it benefits me. قلبي وعاء له لا بطل صندوقي. My heart is a vessel containing it, not the bellies of a drawer, not in the drawers in a notebook or in some other place. إن كنت في البيت كان العلم فيه معي. If I was in the house, then my knowledge is with me. Then my knowledge is with me there. أو كنت في السوق كان العلم في السوق. And if I was in the market, then my knowledge is in the market. And if I was in the market, then my knowledge is in the market. So the Salaf, they used to review from time to time, barakallahu fikum, review the knowledge with each other. And they would say, ذكروا هذا الحديث فإن حياته مذكراته, that you must review this knowledge. You must review these narrations and go over them, because in reviewing is the life of knowledge, the life of those narrations, by reviewing them and going over them from time to time. So we have been discussing in several classes in our discussion about the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, al-Iman billahi azza wa jal, to believe in Allah the Most High. So we make mudhakara with this affair, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it beneficial for us and a blessing. So what does that mean, to believe in Allah? What does that mean, to believe in Allah? The Muslims, they believe in Allah. From our creed is that we believe in Allah. What does it mean, al-imanu billah? Al-imanu billah, what does that mean? Who can remind us? Al-imanu billah, what does that mean? أحسنت. That's an excellent answer. Allahumma barik. And it was very quiet. Nobody else could hear. Alhamdulillah. So who else can help us? That's good though. That way nobody else would cheat off of you. Who else on the other side? What does it mean to believe in Allah? Al-Imanu Billah. Naam. Santa, Allahumma barik. Who else can remind us? Even if you heard now, it's okay. Alhamdulillah. Repeat the same thing. That's called review. To believe. Naam. MashaAllah. Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. Jazakumullahu khayra. So to believe in Allah Azza wa Jal, it means to believe in the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. That Allah, He is the Creator and the Provider and the Sustainer of all things. And that this creation belongs to Him and He has authority and command. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who sends the rain from the sky. Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who causes the crops to grow, and the plants and the herbs likewise, and He is the Provider and Sustainer, and everything is under His command and authority, and nothing in this creation happens except according to His supreme knowledge and ultimate wisdom, and He is the Lord alone, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is from the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's known as Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. So we have to single out Allah alone in these affairs, believing that Allah alone, He is the Creator. Believing that Allah alone, He is the Provider. Believing that Allah alone, He is the Sustainer. Believing that Allah alone, He is the one who gives life. Believing that Allah alone, He is the one who gives death. Believing that Allah alone, He is the one who has authority and command over this creation. Alone, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He alone, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, sends the rain from the sky. He alone, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, provides for the creation. He alone, with no partners and no helpers, created you in the womb of a woman and provided you eyesight and hearing and the ability to reflect and to see, and has cultivated you from that day you were brought into this life to this day that you are living now. He is your Creator. He is your Provider. He is your Nourisher. He is your Sustainer. You belong to Him. He created you, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So the Creator, He has authority and command because this creation belongs to Him. He created the creation. He created the creation. So it's in His hands and His command. And He has ownership and authority over His creation. Over His creation. This is from the Lordship of Allah. He's the Lord. So the Lord, He's the Creator. The Lord, He's the Provider. The Lord, He's the Sustainer. The Lord, He is the owner and the one who has authority. Because the owner, He has authority. The owner, He has authority. This is from the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal. So to believe in Allah, it means to believe in the oneness of Allah and His Lordship. To believe in the oneness of Allah and His Lordship. This is the gateway to love Him and to surrender and submit to Him, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Also, as the brothers, they mentioned, Barakallahu Fikum, to believe in Allah includes as well to believe in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, in His beautiful names, and His lofty attributes of perfection. To believe that all of the most beautiful names belong to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that He is Al-Khaliq, Al-Razik, Al-Mudabbir, and that He is Al-Malik, Al-Qudus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, yani Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the Creator and the one who brought everything into existence, the one who gave everything a shape and its form. And He is the King and the Master. And He is the one who is pure and holy. And He is the one who is the giver of safety and security. He is free from all defects, no deficiency whatsoever. Al-Hayy, Alladhi la yamut. He is the one who is alive and never dies. He is the one who hears all things and nothing is hidden from Him. Alimul ghaybi wa shahada. He is the one who knows the seen and the unseen. La takhfa alayhi khafiya. Nothing is hidden from Him whatsoever. Alimun bi dhati sudur. He knows that which is in the breasts of mankind. His knowledge has encompassed all things, and he is able to do all things. Nothing is difficult nor hard for him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمُ. He feeds and he is not fed. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. No slumber nor sleepiness overtakes him. وَمَا مَسَّنَا مِنْ لُغُوبٍ. And he created the heavens and the earth, and he felt no fatigue from that whatsoever because of his complete power and perfect strength. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Qawi, Al-Ghani, Al-Hamid, the most strong and powerful, the one who is free of all needs, worthy of all praise. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, he has the most beautiful names. All of the most beautiful names, they belong to Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, he has the most beautiful and perfect and lofty attributes of perfection. No deficiency whatsoever from any aspect. His life is perfect, no deficiency. He needs nothing. He is alive and never dies. His existence is perfect and eternal. Has no beginning and no ending. Al-awwal alladhi laysa qablahu shay. Al-akhir alladhi laysa ba'dahu shay. Al-zahir alladhi laysa fawqahu shay. Al-batin alladhi laysa dunahu shay. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the first. There's nothing before him. He's the last. There's nothing after him. His existence has no beginning and no ending. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has a face full of brilliance and light. He has hands in a manner befitting his majesty. Great hands. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can hear you wherever you go. You can't hide from him. Tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is his creation and you belong to him. And you will return to him and he will take you to account. So Allah Azza wa Jal, he has all of the most beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. And likewise, by learning these names and attributes as well, like learning about his actions and his lordship, subhanahu wa ta'ala, one will deify him and glorify him and love him and surrender to him and submit to him in obedience. And we have seen that these two aspects of the tawheed, known as tawheed al-rububiyyah, with Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, they're also included in another category of a Tawheed, which is what is intended from these two affairs. What was that? Huh? At-Tawheed al-Ilmi. Ahsanta, barakallah fiqh. At-Tawheed al-Ilmi. What does that mean in English, Muhammad? Tawheed al-Ilmi. The Tawheed of knowledge, Ahsanta, knowledge-based Tawheed, meaning that we must single out Allah Azza wa Jal with regards to knowledge. What does that mean? And what we know about Him, all of this is information about Allah Azza wa Jal and affairs related to knowing Him, that He is specific to and has no partners with regards to. So whenever we study the Rububiyyah and the Asma wa Sifat, what we're doing in reality is we're learning about Allah. So we're learning His names. These are His names, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, most beautiful names. The most beautiful names, meaning that these are the names of beauty and perfection. And they indicate the most beautiful, lofty attributes of perfection. So these are the names of our Lord and His attributes. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is all knowledge about Allah. About His names and about His attributes. And whenever we study the Lordship of Rububiyyah, this is about the actions of Allah. Allah, He creates. Allah, He provides. Allah, He provides. Allah, He sustains. Allah, He gives life. Allah, He gives death. Allah, He shapes you in the wombs. يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. الَّذِي يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. He is the one who shapes you in the wombs as He was. He is the one who sends the rain from the sky. He is the one who stops the rain from coming from the sky. He is the one who causes the night and day to come in alteration. This is from His action, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what He does, Tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the Lordship, studying the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jal, we single out Allah alone in His actions. in his actions. Tawheedullah fi af'alihi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Tawheed al-Rububiyyah is to single out Allah alone for his actions that are specific to him. No one creates along with Allah. Allah, he creates the creation alone. No one provides along with Allah. Allah, he provides for the creation alone. No one gives shape and form to the creation except for Allah. Allah, he is the shaper and the former and the one who has given everything its shape alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one sends rain from the sky. No one provides camels and cows and sheep and chicken. No one provides these things and no one sustains those things that he provides. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah does. This is what Allah does. These are his actions. He creates. He creates. And he creates for wisdom. And from the wisdom of the creation is so that he will be known. And so that his majesty will be known. And so that he will be glorified, loved, and surrendered, and submitted to. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّهُ قَدْ حَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ except for them to worship me alone. So, this aspect here, Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, wa Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, what is intended from that is to know Allah, to know Him by His beautiful names and His lofty attributes of perfection, and to know Him by His actions, which are likewise the most perfect and complete actions based upon supreme knowledge, ultimate wisdom, and justice. Supreme knowledge, ultimate wisdom, and justice. This is called Tawheed al-Ilmi. Tawheed al-Ilmi. Why is it called Tawheed al-Ilmi? Because it gives you information about Allah. It gives you information about Allah Azza wa Jal. This is all about knowledge. This is all about knowledge. You study Rububiyyah, it's all about knowledge, knowledge of Allah. You study about the names and attributes of Allah, it's all about knowledge, knowledge about Allah. So this is Tawheed. This knowledge is specific to Tawheed. Allah alone does these actions. Allah alone has these names. Allah alone, he has these attributes. No one shares with him in these affairs whatsoever. We must single him out for these issues. If we were to believe that Allah had partners or shares or helpers in any of these affairs, then this would be violating the Tawheed. And that's called shirk. That's called shirk. It happens in the Rububiyyah. It happens in the Asma'i wa Sifat. Happens in the Rububiyyah. Happens in the Asma'i wa Sifat. Because this is Tawheed. Contrary to Tawheed, when the Tawheed is violated from the foundation, this is called shirk. Waliyadhu billah. Waliyadhu billah. So to learn this, to learn this aspect of the Tawheed is the foundation to learn about Allah Azza wa Jal. Because from here, one will realize that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. From here, looking into this reality and learning about the Creator, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and then likewise learning about the creation around, one will realize that the entire creation is dependent and in need for its very existence upon the Creator. And the Creator, He does not need anything. And He is not depending on anything. Rather, everything is in need of Him and depending upon Him. He is Al-Ahad As-Samad from His beautiful names and attributes of perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this leads us to the ultimate reality and the greatest understanding. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. There's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. Is there something worthy of worship besides Allah? Why not? Because He's the Creator. He's the Provider. He is the Sustainer. He has a life of perfection. He has knowledge of perfection, wisdom of perfection. He is powerful and strong. Al-Aziz. No one can overcome Him or escape Him. The Most High and Mighty. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He is the Creator. He is the Provider. He is the Sustainer. This creation belongs to Him. It's under His authority and command. Whatever He wills happens, and whatever He does not will does not happen. Does not happen. So everything besides the Creator is creation. And the creation is only in existence because the Creator created it and brought it into existence. So therefore, the creation is not worthy of worship. Not even the best of them. Not even the best of them. وَلَا مَلَكٌ مُقَرَّبٌ وَلَا نَبِيٌّ مُرْسَلٌ and not even the highest angel, and not even a prophet that was sent with revelation and guidance. These things likewise are from creation. So they're not worthy of worship. They're not worthy of worship. The one who created them, brought them into existence, gave them shape and form, provided for them, and sustained them, he is the one who's worthy of worship. He is the one who's worthy of worship. So whenever we study the at-tawheed al-ilmi, this leads us to the ultimate reality and the wisdom from the purpose of the creation and the wisdom from our very life and breath, and that is to worship the Creator by loving him, and hoping in him and fearing him and seeking to draw near to him by putting one's faith and trust and reliance in him alone and submitting to him in submission inwardly and outwardly and humble, willful obedience. This is called Tawheed al-Ibadah. It's called Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. It's called Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah. It's also called Al-Islam. Al-Islam. This is Al-Islam. Al-Islam is to submit willfully to the Creator in submission with Tawheed. Al-Istislamu lillahi bi-Tawheed. Wal-Inqiyadu lahu bi-Ta'a. Wal-Bara'atu min al-Shirki wa ahlihi. This is Islam. Islam isn't Tawheed. Tawheed, this is the religion of the prophets and messengers, alayhim wassalatu wassalam. Alayhim wassalatu wassalam. So learning about Allah, his actions and his names and his attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the gateway. Is the gateway and the means to deify him and to love him and to hope in him alone, to attach the heart to him alone, and to turn away from the creation and to know that the creation cannot help you or harm you whatsoever. Whatsoever, if it is not for the permission and the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then one, he will rely on Allah and trust Allah and obey Allah and surrender to Allah and submit to Allah and strive to seek the pleasure of Allah by worshiping him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the purpose and the wisdom of the creation and the goal and the aim of our life, and that we'll be held accountable for. This is what we'll be held accountable for. When we return to Allah Azza wa Jal, and we know that Allah, he created us, and that Allah, he provided for us, and that Allah, he sustained us, and all the blessings that we have are from Allah, and all the good that we have is from Allah. And we'll be taken to account for those blessings. And did we use them in the pleasure of Allah, or did we follow our desires and listen to the whispers of the devil? وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ. So there's a great test, and all of this is from the wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, and there's Tawheed al-Asma'i wa Sifat, and there's Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. So it's called Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. It's also called Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, and it's also called Tawheed al-Ibadah. And the meanings are similar. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, is from the word ilah, which means ma'lu, which is a god, something that is worshipped. And something that is worshipped, something that is deified. A god is something that one will take, believing that it has the attributes qualifying it to be worthy of worship. So Allah, he's the only true God who's worthy of worship. So Allah, he is Al-Ilah al-Haq, Al-Ma'bud al-Haq. He's the one who's worshipped in right, the one who's worshipped in truth, because of his rububiyyah and because of his asma wa sifat. He's the one who has the perfect life. He is the one who has the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever. He is the one who is the creator, provider, and sustainer alone. He is the one who has authority and command with no partners or no share in that whatsoever. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has Al-Uluhiyyah. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. We single out Allah alone for Al-Uluhiyyah. Al-Uluhiyyah. So this is with regards to Allah, from his attributes, Al-Uluhiyyah. And he is Al-Ilah Al-Haq, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever it's called Tawheed al-Ubudiyyah, this is with regards to the slave, Tawheed, to single out Allah alone for Ubudiyyah. So we have to make the Ubudiyyah for him because he possesses the Uluhiyyah. So from here, it's been narrated from Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma, the definition or the meaning of the word Allah, the meaning of this, the noble term Allah, this beautiful name of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that is ذو الألوهية والعبودية على خلقه أجمعين. the possessor of uluhiyah and ubudiyah over the entire creation. Over the entire creation. Dhul uluhiyati wal ubudiyati ala khalqihi ajma'in. The possessor, the one who possesses the uluhiyah, the divinity, meaning the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thus likewise deserving of ubudiyah over the entire creation. The ubudiyah meaning is the servitude, the worship, and devotion. The servitude, the worship, and devotion. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He's the one who has the attributes of perfection, no deficiency whatsoever. And He is the one who is providing, sustaining, and disposing the affairs of this entire creation. So because of that, He is the one who's worthy of worship alone. So this creation and everything in it, this is from Barahin al-Tawheed. This is from Barahin al-Tawheed, Ayatullahi Azza wa Jal. Ayatullahi al-Kawniyah. These are from the evidences and proofs of al-Tawheed. And these are the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal in the creation. You're a sign of Allah. I'm a sign of Allah. My eyes, your eyes are signs from the signs of Allah, indicating the greatness and the majesty and the mercy and the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the sky above our heads, and likewise the sun and the moon and the stars and the birds and the trees and the fish and the seas. All of that are signs from the majesty and the glory and the authority and the command of Allah. Proofs He's worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Proofs that He's worthy of worship, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is His creation. This is His creation. He is the creator. All of this creation, when you look around at this vast creation, all of it is glorifying Allah, clarifying His majesty, clarifying His greatness, clarifying He's the Lord, clarifying that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the barahin al-tawheed, the proofs of tawheed, the evidence of tawheed. The clear signs of al-tawheed, of the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. And here we mean the tawheed al-ibadah, because this is the whole point of the affair. The whole point of the affair is tawheed al-ibadah. Tawheed al-ibadah. So tawheeday al-rubbiyah wal-isma'i wa-sifat, this is the gateway to tawheed al-uluhiyah, the gateway and the proof and the evidence for tawheed al-uluhiyah. So the more you know about Allah, and the more you're sincere in that knowledge, the more that knowledge sinks into your heart, the more you will submit and surrender. The more you will submit and surrender. The more you learn about Allah's actions and His names and His attributes, the more you will love Him, and the more you will surrender and submit to Him, and the more you will strive to obey Him, and the better you will become. And the higher status you will have, and the blessing in your life will multiply by believing in Allah and learning about Him and surrendering and submitting to Him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much time we have? I really wanted to talk about the principles we discussed in the names and attributes also, but maybe we don't have enough time this morning. Half an hour. Oh, I'll go. Pushing the wrong buttons. 8 minutes until shuruq, and then 15 minutes. You tired? Sleepy. Sleep is the perfection of the creation. If you don't sleep, you go crazy. The Creator, He doesn't sleep. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for you, if you don't sleep, you go crazy. You need Him to allow you to sleep. Some people there tried and they don't have the blessing of sleep, and therefore they go mad. Riyadu billah, their life becomes a headache and very hectic and problematic because they can't sleep at night. Because they can't sleep at night. Subhanallah. Allah, He does not sleep. Allah, He does not get tired. Allah, He is powerful and strong. That's why we worship Him, and we don't worship people that go to sleep. The Christians, they worship people that used to go to sleep. And they worship people that used to be in the bathroom too. Alhamdulillah. If Allah didn't bless you and guide you, you will worship somebody who was in the bathroom too. So you should thank Allah and praise Him. Allah, He mentioned that about, He mentioned that to the Jews and Christians about Isa alayhi salam and his mother. وَكَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They both used to eat food. They both used to eat food. Yani, wake up, Yani. Don't worship somebody who used to eat food. Because first they need somebody to provide the food for them. Who's that? The provider, Razaq. And then after that, yeah, the food has to benefit you. If it doesn't benefit you, it will harm you. Even if it benefits you, there's some parts of that food that got to come out. It's got to come out. So, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, that Allah, He guided us. Because people, they're misguided. Many people are misguided. And you can't buy guidance. You can't go to Walmart and get guidance. You can't go to Sam's Club and get guidance. You can't go to Somali Market and get guidance. This is a favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's a favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, believe in Allah. Alhamdulillah, believe in His Lordship. Alhamdulillah, believe in His names and attributes. Alhamdulillah, I know my Lord. Alhamdulillah, I know my Lord. Man Rabbuk, Rabbi Allah, Alladhi Rabbani, Rabba Jameer Alameen Abini'ami. Huwa Ma'budi, Laysa Li Ma'budun Siwa. Huwa Ma'budi. He's my Lord, He's my God, He's the one I worship. I devote myself to Him. Laysa Li Ma'budun Siwa. I have no one to worship besides Him. I don't worship anybody else. I don't worship anybody else. I don't hope for anything from anybody else. I hope from Allah Azza wa Jalla. I take the means He legislated for me and allowed. Huwa Ma'budi. The one who has this knowledge, nothing can harm him and no one can bother him. And his life is happy wherever he goes. Even if the people don't like him, he's happy. Alhamdulillah. Because Allah, he knows that their hearts are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. Their hearts are in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So his trust and his faith is in Allah. And he takes the means that are lawful for him to live his life. Alhamdulillah. So this was, wallahi, the greatest knowledge. The greatest knowledge, the knowledge of At-Tawheed, Al-Imanu Billah. The greatest blessing, the greatest favor is to believe in Allah. The proper belief. Some people, they believe in Allah, but they believe the corrupted belief. They believe that Allah is everywhere. They believe that Allah is everywhere right now with them. Everywhere right now with them. Wadiyadhi Billah. Wadiyadhi Billah. This is misguidance. This is misguidance. We had taken some principles with regards to believing in the names and the attributes of Allah. There were some important principles that we discussed. From them is what is called al-mahadir, al-mahadir al-arba, al-mahadir. What does that mean? Al-mahadir min hadar, hadara yahdaru, hadaran. To warn from hadara. Is to be cautious from something. Hadhara is to warn from something. So the meaning of hadhar is to take precaution from something, to be aware of something, to watch out from something. So these are called mahadir, four things you got to watch out for. Four things you have to look out for. You have to avoid. You have to be cautious not to fall into. Four things when discussing the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal and believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's four things we have to watch out for and not fall into. We have to avoid and stay away from when believing in Allah, specifically His names and attributes subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who can remind us of those four things? He started first. Yeah. Okay. Help him out. Tahrif. Same again. Go ahead. Ahsant. Rahim. Whichever one you got. The story and the meaning. Denying the attributes. We don't ask how, delve into how, the reality are. The last one. What's the last one? Not to resemble to the creation. This is a good order. This is the order that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned in the beginning of Al-Aqidah Wasitiyah. He mentioned without having tahrif, la tahrif, wa la ta'til, wa la takif, wa la tamthil. So the four things are tahrif and ta'til. And these things, they go hand in hand. So it's good to mention them together. And takif and tamthil. And these likewise go hand in hand. These likewise go hand in hand. So that's why they're mentioned together. You have tahrif and ta'til. You have takif and tamthil. Tahrif. Tahrif means to distort the meaning. It means to distort the meaning or to distort the word or to distort the context by changing the i'rab. All of this is considered tahrif. So tahrif really means to distort something, to change it, to change it, to change it, to distort it from the original apparent meaning. From the original apparent meaning. The people of innovation, they call tahrif ta'wil. Ta'wil. Ta'wil in the terminology of the Salaf, it means tafsir. It means tafsir. If you read, for example, in Tafsir Ibn Jarir, rahimahullah al-Tabari, he died in 310. He has a great tafsir from the first of the scholars to make a tafsir bil ma'thur, and a tafsir by the Quran, but also focusing more on the narrations, with chain, with his chain to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the companions and to the tabi'in, radiyallahu anhum. But he will always begin. He will say, "What ta'wilu hadhihi al-ayat? What ta'wilu hadhihi al-ayat? What ta'wilu hadhihi al-ayat?" So what he means here by ta'wil is tafsir. So the ta'wil means interpretation, which tafsir means interpretation, to interpret something. So the people of deviation, like the Jahmiya and their deviant sects that come from them, the Asha'ira and the Maturidiyya and the rest of those who deny the attributes and distort the attributes, they claim they're making ta'wil. And this is a nice word they use to cover up their evil and their bad way. So they say, no, we're making ta'wil. We're making ta'wil. Any meaning, we're interpreting the verses. We're explaining the meaning of the, this means this. The hands, no hands. It means power. It means blessing. It means this. Love, no. Love, Allah, Allah loves. Allah, He wants to do good to people. He wants to bless people. Mercy, He wants to show them kindness like this. No, He doesn't have mercy. No, He doesn't love. So they make what they call ta'wil. But in reality, it's tahrif. It's distorting the meaning from the apparent understanding in the Arabic language without evidence or proof. Without evidence or proof. You understand that? So the one who does this, this leads him to ta'til. It leads him to ta'til, which is to deny the attribute. To deny the attribute. So he denied the attribute. He said that Allah, Allah loves, Wallahu yuhibbu al-muttaqin. Allah, He loves the muttaqin, meaning that Allah, He wants to do good to them. Allah wants to bless them. So Allah, He doesn't love. They deny that attribute. So they don't deny the attribute like directly, rather they go around about. How did they reach denying the attribute? By distorting the meaning. By distorting the meaning. So in distorting the meaning, they're really saying Allah, He doesn't love. Allah is not described with mahabba. Mahabba is not a sifa from the sifat of, is not a sifa from the sifat of Allah. You can't describe Allah with love. With love. What leads them to making tahrif? Ahsanta, because of? Yes, because in reality they're making tashbih. They're making tamthil. They're delving into the kaif. They're thinking about how. They can't imagine these attributes in any other manner except what they see in the creation. So they don't want to resemble Allah to the creation. So when they hear these attributes, because they have a misunderstanding, their hearts become nervous. Their hearts become nervous. Hands. What do you mean hands? I got hands. No, Allah doesn't have hands like me. That's right. He doesn't have hands like you. He doesn't have hands like the clock either, silly. Right? We've seen these affairs. So they are not able to comprehend these attributes that are mentioned in the book and the sunnah except by resembling them to the creation. So they run from that. They run from that and bump their head in this. Or they run from that and fall in this. Because they're misguided. When you run in darkness without light, what happens? You hit your head on this one and you fall off in this one. And you think this guy want to help you, he really want to rob you. Or you think this it's a tree, it's a snake. You don't even know what's going on around you. Just going to get hurt. And the likes taken advantage of. Allahu musta'an. That's what happens when you're running through the wilderness or going through the neighborhood with no lights on. You're exposed to much danger and the likes. So they flee from resembling the creation to Allah, from resembling Allah to the creation. And this leads them to distort the meaning, which leads them to deny the attribute. So they flee from resembling Allah to the creation, and they wind up resembling Him to the worst of that, and that is void, nothing. They resemble Him to nothing, and He doesn't have attributes. They'll lead them, now He doesn't have attributes. So now they resemble Him to the ma'dum, and instead of like to void, to nothing. And led some of them to say that Allah is not in the creation, He's not outside of the creation, He's on the left of the creation, not on the right of the creation, He's not here, He's not there, He's not connected, He's not outside. So this is, in reality, the perfect definition of something that doesn't exist, the perfect definition of non-existence. So it led them to deny the attributes and even the existence of the Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is even worse than what they fled from. So this is a foul way. We don't resemble Allah to the creation whatsoever. So we've seen that the way that we believe is ithbat as-sifat al-thabita fi al-Qur'an wa sunnah min ghayri tashbih. We affirm the attributes that are affirmed in the Qur'an and the sunnah without likening them to the creation. Why do we do that? Who told us that Allah has these attributes? Allah did. Who else told us that Allah has these attributes? The messenger of Allah did. The messenger of Allah. You know what the messenger is? Somebody who come with a message. From the message that the messenger of Allah received is that Allah has these attributes. The best of the message. The best of the message is about Allah Azza wa Jalla, Tawheed al-Ilmi and the Tawheed al-Amali. This is the best of the message. This is what Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told us about our Lord. From the things our Lord told us about Himself, laysa kamithlihi shay. There's nothing like unto Him. Lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. There's nothing where it's comparable to Him. He has no peer, no rival. Hal ta'lamu lahu samiyya. Is anyone comparable to Him whatsoever? No. But He also told us, wa huwa as-sami'u al-basir, that He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. He also, وَبَلِيَدَهُ مَبْسُوطَةً وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. He mentioned all these attributes along with the fact that there's nothing comparable to Him. There's nothing resembling Him whatsoever. There's nothing like unto His likeness. So therefore, we affirm what He affirmed for Himself and what His Prophet affirmed for Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without resembling to the creation. Without likening Him to the creation. Without likening the attributes to the creation. You understand? So that's ithbatun bila tashbih. Bila tashbih. So along with that ithbat bila tashbih, then also we make tanzihun bila ta'til. We free Allah Azza wa Jal from any defect or shortcoming or fault or illness or bad way without denying his attributes. So the people of deviation, they deviate in two major ways. With regards to the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, there's two. Sayyatan. Sayyah. Sayyatu at-tashbih wa sayyatu at-ta'qil. The bad way of resembling Allah to the creation and the bad way of denying the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal. These are two bad ways. This way leads away from the straight path, and this way leads away from the straight path. Resembling Allah to the creation in any manner is a bad way, taking one away from the straight path. Denying the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal that He affirmed for Himself in His book, or that His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam affirmed for Him, is a bad way, taking a person away from the straight path. Taking a person away from the straight path. What is the good way? To affirm what is affirmed. To affirm what is affirmed in the book and in the sunnah without resembling to the creation. Free from that part. We affirm it, yes, because Allah affirmed it. وَمَنْ أَسْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who knows better than, who's more truthful than Allah? And who knows more about Allah than Allah? And after Allah, who knows more about Him from the creation than His Prophet? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it only makes sense that you affirm for him what he affirmed for himself and his prophet affirmed for him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with the fact that there's nothing resembling him because he's akbar, greater than everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we free him and believe that he has no deficiency, no weakness, no shortcoming, no resemblance to the creation whatsoever, but we did not deny anything that he affirmed for himself. Any aspect of perfection, we will not deny that whatsoever, whether we affirm it for Allah Azza wa Jalla. So then we make ithbat bila tashbih, and we make tanzih bila ta'thil. Bila ta'thil. This is the proper way. This is the proper way of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. So from the ways of tahrif, which some of them try to be sneaky and call it ta'wil, is that they distort the text, either the meaning or the word, by adding or subtracting letters, or changing the harakat, or the i'rab, the context of the text. That's all called tahrif. And then the ta'wil is to deny the attribute. Some of them, the worst of them, they just straight up say Allah, He doesn't have this attribute. But the Muslims in general, they're not bold enough to do that. So they'll make the tahrif that leads them to making ta'thiyah. That leads them to making ta'thiyah, to denying the attributes. So they'll change the meaning or they'll distort the meaning. And that leads to denying the attribute. You understand this part? Also from the ways of denying the attribute is another way. It's called a tafwild. A tafwild, to make entrustment. This in the linguistically. فَوَاللَّهُ أَمْرَهُ, to entrust his affair to him. So tafwil is to entrust this affair to Allah. So to entrust something to Allah. So these people, they're called the mufawwidah, but in reality they're mu'attira. So they make tafwil of the meaning. The meaning. So they say, for example, Allah, He makes istiwa. We believe in that. We believe in that. Ar-Rahman. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى لِلْعَرْشِ. Yes, Allah, He made istiwa. Allah, He made istiwa. But then we say, what is that? He said, well, I don't know. Wallahu a'lam. Allah knows best what it means. Allah knows best what it means. Well, we say, no, istiwa, it means to go up. He said, Wallah, I don't know. Allah knows best what it means. So you mean that Allah doesn't go up? So that's what they're doing. You understand? Oh, no, I don't know. And istiwa in the Arabic language, it means to go up, to rise. So Allahu a'lam. Allah knows best what it means. I don't know. Now they're fleeing from that meaning, which must be affirmed, because Allah, He spoke to us in the clear Arabic language. بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ تِبْيَانٍ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We discussed this point before, likewise, that the Quran is guidance, hudan, linnas, it's guidance, it's clarity, it's mercy. And if the apparent meaning is not intended, then it will not be guidance, it will not be clear, it will not be an exposition for all things, whether this hidden meanings make it ambiguous, and that's not guidance, right? And that's not mercy. And that's not a clear exposition for all things. So the intended meaning is the clear meaning. And the only time whenever that meaning is not intended is whenever there's evidence showing that another meaning is intended. Because it's clarity.
one portion clarifies the other if there's any ambiguity. You understand? So the apparent meaning is intended. Always. Whether it's related to the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla or other than that, from the affairs discussed in the Quran. So to say, Allahu Alam, Allah has a face. Yeah, he has a face. What is that? Allah has a face. No, Allahu Alam, I don't know. You don't know what face means? We don't even know what face means. He said, no, Allahu Alam, I don't know. I don't know. They say, Allah knows best what face means. They don't affirm the meaning. And they try to act like they're pious and righteous. Allah knows best. So in reality, they're denying the meaning. You understand? So that's an aspect of a ta'til. So there's an aspect of tafwid that is proper and an aspect that is not proper. So Ahl al-Sunnah, they make tafwid of the kayf. This one is correct. The Salaf, they meant tafwid. They said, amirruha bila kayf. This is the principles of the Salaf. They spoke of amirruha, these texts here about the attributes. Amirruha bila kayf. You believe in them as they come without saying how. Without saying how. And like we heard from Imam Malik, rahimahullah, what did he say about the istiwa? Al-istiwa ma'alum. The meaning is known. What kayf? Majhul. As for the kayf, it's majhul. How it is, this is the one we don't know. So the actual attribute, we know the meaning in the Arabic language. The clear Arabic tongue, we know the meaning of that attribute in the Arabic language. But as for how it is with Allah, this part is unknown. So the how it is with Allah, this is the one we entrust to Allah. Allah knows best about how it is. As for the actual word and its meaning, we know what that means. We know what hands means. We know what face means. We know what hearing means. We know what seeing means. We know what knowledge means. We know what love means. We know what hate means. We know what mercy means. We know what these words mean. We know what these words mean. And also we had taken another principle, which was in the Arabic language, al-idafatu taqtadhi at-takhsis, that whenever something is ascribed to something else, this necessitates that this brings a specific meaning. Whenever something is ascribed to something else, this implies a specific meaning. So if you say, for example, the anger of a man and the anger of a lion, for example, is different, right? The anger of a poor man and the anger of the king, for example, is going to, you know, that it's different. This is different. The anger of a father and the anger. So this is different. It's different. The love of a father, the love of a mother, the love of a child. These things are different. The hearing of a bird, the hearing of a man, the hearing of a cat. These things are different. These things are different. They're different. So each one is according to what it's ascribed to. So if when it's ascribed to the cat hears according to the way cats hear, and the fish, they hear according to the way the fish hear. So it's different. It's different. But they all can hear. But they all can hear. So Allah, He said He can hear, but He doesn't hear like anything in the creation. So whenever it's ascribed to Allah Azza wa Jalla, it's befitting His Majesty. As for how, we don't know. We never seen it. We never seen Him. And we never seen nothing comparable to Him. There's nothing like Him whatsoever. So we don't know. So this part right here, we entrust to Allah. That's correct. As for the meaning, we don't entrust that to Allah. Whether we know what the meaning is, because Allah, He told us. You understand? So if we claim to entrust the meaning to Allah Azza wa Jalla, then in reality we're denying the attribute. We're denying the attributes. You say, yeah, Allah has hands, but I don't know. Wallah, I don't know what that means. So you're saying that Allah doesn't have hands then, right? Because hands means hands. We know what hands means. So we have to affirm that. Say, I know what hands mean. Yes, I believe Allah has hands, but I believe that Allah's hands are not like the hands of anything in the creation. Oh, that's the proper creed. That's the proper way. You understand? Because to make tafweed of the meaning is ta'fid. It's ta'fid. To make tafweed of the meaning is a type of ta'fid. It's a type of ta'fid. You understand? بِلَا تَحْرِيفًا وَلَا تَعْفِيلٍ وَبِلَا تَكْيِيفًا وَلَا تَمْثِيلٍ. The takyif is to delve into how. And everyone who delves into how, this is leading him to make tashbih. Tashbih. He's making tashbih. If he's going to delve into how, he's going to have to delve into how. So the one who makes tashbih, he's going to delve into how the reality of them are. So these things they come together likewise. And the tashbih, it means to resemble, resembling something to something else. So the tashbih, it happens in two ways: resembling Allah to the creation, and resembling the creation to Allah. Ahsant. Resembling Allah to the creation, Allah, his hands mean this. Or Allah, he hears like this. Or Allah, his face is like this. Like that face or this face, right? This is called tashbih, resembling him to the creation, which is also a type of takif, making how. So that's resembling Allah to the creation. How is resembling the creation to Allah? Ahsanta, believing that something in the creation has attributes that are only deserving of Allah Azza wa Jalla, like the Sufis and the Rafida, how they resemble the creation to Allah whenever they call on the graves, believing that the people in the grave have the ability to hear them and understand them, whatever language they speak and whatever land that they may be, and even if they're dead, or even some of them, they're alive and they'll call on their sheikh, yani in India, and he's in Stone Mountain, or they're called on their sheikh, he's dead, buried in Iraq, for example. He's calling on him, he died 600 and something, and after Hijrah, what is it now, 1445? He died over 700 years ago, something like that, and here they are calling on him in Somali, and the man, he spoke Arabic, or calling on him in English, and the man, he spoke Arabic, as if he can hear them, even if he was alive, as if he could hear them, even if he was right next to him, as if he could understand him. You understand? So now they have given this creation attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're likening the creation to Allah Azza wa Jalla, having the supreme ability to hear and also control over the creation and authority and command in the universe and the likes like this. So this is resembling the creation to Allah, yani by making shirk in these affairs. You understand? Allahu musta'an. So we have to strive to seek knowledge. Barakallahu fikum. And then if you understand these affairs, then you spread the knowledge. You teach your wife, you teach your child, you teach your brother, your sister, whoever will listen to you. Alhamdulillah, your neighbor, whatever the case may be, your colleague. Alhamdulillah, after you learn, after you understand, after you memorize and comprehend, after you implement and apply, after that, alhamdulillah, you spread the knowledge, you help others. You direct them, you guide them, you hope good for them. May Allah grant us success. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.